you have any information that changes, you can put that on there. There will be a basket in the back on your way out. You can drop that in there. Different dress codes. Baptist. When you hit the local Baptist church, dust off your best polo shirt and slacks like Jesus wore. Women should be sure to wear long enough skirts lest they should cause a brother to stumble by flashing too much ankle. Calvary Chapel. God is worthy of our Sunday best, so make sure you pick out your finest sandals, shorts, and Hawaiian print shirt when you show your face at one of your city's 58 Calvary Chapels. The hardcore believers will be touting a copy of Left Behind or The Late Great Planet Earth tucked under their arm. Presbyterian and Reform. The key here is classy. Sport a three-piece suit, top hat, monocle. Pair with a glass of scotch or a craft beer and Romeo and Juliet brand cigar to really blend in. The non-denominational megachurch, whatever you woke up in. If it's good enough to party late on Saturday night and crash on the couch, it's good enough for God. If you overdress by wearing a shirt that doesn't show some skin or low-key, modest outfit, you'll stick out like a sore thumb. Pentecostal. Go with something loose and flowing. Anything good for waving your arms around or flopping about. Make sure it has secret pockets and compartments where you can stow your tambourine and dancing ribbon. Catholic. You'd better wear your best, spiffiest outfit or your grandma will pinch you and it'll hurt like the dickens. If your grandma isn't there, don't worry. Someone else's grandma will assume her pinching duties. Methodist. Mainline Methodist should wear a tie-dye shirt and leaning left political statement like love is love or pride. If you're one of the few Methodists still left in orthodoxy, a Wesley is my homeboy shirt ought to do it. That's John Wesley. Yeah. Lutheran. 16th century German monastic robes are ideal. If you're having trouble locating those, you can also go with a Baptist-esque business casual outfit as a fallback. But really, you're going to want to try to find one of those robes if you don't want to look like a loser. Episcopalian. Wear anything you want. No one will be there to see you anyway. Eastern Orthodox, your outfit doesn't really matter so much as the fact that you have a long, flowing beard. Women are not exempt from this requirement. Yeah, probably not. I figured if you're going to offend any, you might as well offend them all. And with that, let's pray. Father God, thank you for this day. Thank you again for the rain. We definitely can use it. Thank you for just how you provide for us in a lot of different ways. Thank you for your word. And as we look at it this morning, Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would just really stir within us what you want us to know, that we'll hear your voice this morning, and that we'll take action in that we won't just acknowledge it, but that we'll act upon it. Father, and I do think of some in our body who are dealing with issues. I know Therese just had surgery, and we're thinking of Phyllis and Ruth and Sandy Stenson still. Just there's many who deal with physical things constantly. And Father, I lift them up to you and pray that you would help them just to really feel your presence today about them, that you would encourage them. Something would encourage them today. And we're praying for health for them, praying for health for our whole body as we go into this fall season, winter season. Father, help us to stay healthy. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, my wife and I did not talk about the message, but however, that was a very good segue into what we're talking about today. Motivation. Motivation. What motivates us? You know, if we have kids or had kids, one of our key motivations is bribery, You know, it's the if then, if we do this, then you'll do that, right? The problem is it's not very sustainable. Think about the kids that, you know, you go out for a hike. We used to have a place that we would go and we would walk up. It was called Edgar Rock. And you'd walk up there and the kids are trudging along. Or Timothy, who after 10 minutes would say, can we go back? And now he actually hikes. That's kind of ironic. But once he got to the top, the view is great. And then every once in a while, on the way back down, they would take off running to see who could get to the bottom first. They were motivated to go back down. They weren't quite as motivated to go up. The best motivation, however, would be the motivation that God gives us. Love, grace, mercy. Most of us are familiar with John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Ephesians 2:1-5, Paul talking to the Ephesians about where we were, where we have been. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins. This is Ephesians 2:1-5, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them we too all formerly lived in the lust of the flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. That's what should motivate us. God's love. What's your purpose? What's your passion? Are you eager, enthusiastic, excited about what you're doing in life? Or are you indifferent and apathetic? Maybe just plain lazy. God talks about those who are, those who are lukewarm. What does he say about them? He'll vomit them out of his mouth because they are neither hot nor cold. Number one. This is in Romans. We're looking at chapter 12, verse 11 today. But I'm going to start back in verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed by this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body and all members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. If service, in serving. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in his exhortation. He who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be enthusiastic in the Spirit. Serve the Lord. Be zealous. Because of God's love and mercy. That term, lag, akneros, means sluggish or slothful or even lazy. Jesus uses the same term in Matthew 25, 26, where he's talking to the slaves where the master had gone away. It says, "But his master answered and said to him, 'You wicked, lazy slave, you knew that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I scattered no seed.'" The lazy slave that wasn't willing to take a chance. And then zealous, earnestness in accomplishing, having zeal. 1 Corinthians 15:58, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord." Be zealous. Work hard. Work hard at serving the Lord. Work hard at whatever job He's given you. Colossians 3:23. The context here is slaves. Paul is talking about slaves here. He says, "Whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve." So here's someone who's a slave, has no control over their situation. And what Paul is telling them, work hard for the Lord. Serve God. One of the things that we have to be very careful when we're working hard, whether it's serving the Lord or even in a job, is we have to be careful not to neglect our families. We have to be careful not to neglect our spiritual growth. Sometimes we can get so busy serving, doing good things in the church, that we neglect our growth. That we might neglect sitting in the body with everybody in learning, in hearing, in fellowshipping. 1 Timothy 5:8 says, "But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." Sometimes we can get so caught up in doing our job or serving the Lord that we get out of balance. We need to use our gifts, those gifts that God has given us. We need to use them to serve Him, to serve the body. When we're using our gifts, we'll be amazed at how much energy we have, how much joy we have, the fulfillment that we have, even hard things. If we're working in our gifts, it's amazing the energy we can have. 1 Timothy 4:14. Paul speaking to this young pastor, he says, "Do not neglect the spiritual gift within you." Do not neglect it. You have to know it to even be able to neglect it. Paul talks about that. Do not be unaware. You need to know what your gift is. 1 Peter 4:10 says, "As each one of you has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And do it with zeal, with excitement. Be fervent. Be fervent because of the love and mercy of God." Fervent, the Greek word zeo, means enthusiastic, but it even goes beyond that. It means boiling over. Boiling over with enthusiasm. It says to be enthusiastic in the Spirit. As the Spirit of God empowers us, our spirit needs to be enthusiastic, excited, wanting to serve the Lord, looking for ways to serve God. We need to be boiling over for Christ. because of his great love and mercy that he showed us. That's our motivation, is what he's done for us. Romans 8, 37 through 39, it says, but in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. We overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced, Paul speaking, I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So go out and do what God wants you to do, because there's nothing that can touch you. Be enthusiastic. Have passion. When you're in that place, nobody has to do any arm twisting to get you to do stuff. There's no arm twisting that needs to be done to get you to help with Sunday school or Awana or whatever it might be.
We need greeters.
Or greeters. There's always opportunities to serve.
Don't care what you wear.
You may wish you hadn't said that. We need to have passion. We need to have passion. What's your passion? What's that one thing that you'll drop everything to do? You know, probably sadly to say, in most of the church, it's not something that serves the Lord. You know, our great passion usually lies somewhere else, which is too bad, because our first love should be Christ. The first place we pour our passion into should be God's church and God's family. He doesn't want us to be lukewarm. He wants us to be fired up. Jim Elliot said this, wherever you are, be all there. Live to the hilt every situation you believe to be God's will. This was a guy who put it all on the line to serve God. Jim Elliot and several other guys were killed by the Aka Indians as they tried to go and share the gospel with them. They were passionate about it. They were going to do it no matter what. They were going to serve the Lord, because they knew there was nothing that they could do to them. They could take their life, but that just means they're going to be with the Lord sooner. The love and mercy that God showed them far superseded any worry they had about their life. Number three, we need to serve the Lord because of his love and mercy. And we're to all be called. It's not just a few. It's not just the person that stands up front or... But it's every single believer in Jesus Christ. Every member of Christ's body should be serving somewhere. 1 Corinthians 12. Going to be looking at verse 1 and then 4 and 7. It says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware. Paul speaking to the Corinthians, you need to know about spiritual gifts. Now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are a variety of ministries in the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. In other words, we're supposed to operate in our spiritual gift for the good of everybody else. Just as God, through His Son, gave His life for the good of everybody else. Slaves versus volunteers. Slave. They're not their own. They own nothing. Their choice isn't theirs. The only thing they have a choice over really is their attitude, which Paul had talked about here earlier. They can't quit, and their master tells them what to do. And that's the picture of who we as believers need to be, a slave for Jesus Christ, as opposed to a volunteer who chooses when, where, and how they'll serve. And they can quit really whenever they want. And they also have certain expectations that they need to have met, otherwise they can't serve. We need to be a slave to Jesus Christ. We need to have that attitude. We need to not serve ourselves. You know, there's a lot of secular organizations out there that do really good things. And part of how they get people to do things is how they'll feel doing it. You know, if you come and serve and do this for us and do, it'll make you feel so good because you're doing this and doing that. But we need to have balance. We need to have the right motive. We need to be careful we don't overdo things. We need to be serving, but not to the degree where we're not mature. Because sometimes it's real easy to serve, not be maturing in the Lord. We went on a short-term mission trip way back, went to Tijuana, and I can remember one of the kids that went, talking to them about, well, you know, so really why do you do this? And one of the reasons they gave was, well, it'll look good on a resume later. Kind of missed the point. But it's that self-serving rather than serving the Lord. Galatians 1:10. Paul speaking to the Galatians, he says, "For am I now seeking the favor of men or of God?" Whose favor am I seeking? Is it God's or is it man's? Am I striving to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. Because as we serve Christ and do it enthusiastically with zeal and passion, many times the world will look at us and go, "What is the matter with you? What is that accomplishing? You know, at least you could be over here and helping this organization or that organization." Because they don't get it. They don't understand that we're bondservants of Jesus Christ. And we need to be serving Him only. We need to be seeking God's approval. God's approval and not man's. And along with that comes confronting in love. If I'm not seeking man's approval, then why should I be afraid to confront somebody when I see them in sin? Because what's sin going to do to somebody? It's going to destroy them. So if I love that person, I should be able to confront their sin. And it's not just a, you know, in your face one time. It needs to be a loving relationship. When we don't, basically, we become lukewarm. We become apathetic. We don't really care. what's happening to that person. Well, you know, I don't want to be judgmental. Well, that's what the world says. But God tells us when we see a brother in sin, we need to go to that brother or sister and encourage them to get out of it and to move on. So in applying these things, the first thing we need to do is check our motivation. Why are we doing what we're doing? You know, we can say we're serving the Lord, but if we're serving the Lord with the wrong motive, yeah, it might get some things done, but it's not the best. We need to be motivated by God's love and mercy. What's He done for you? Yeah. He saved us from hell. We need to be looking for God's approval. And we need to be obedient in doing this. Philippians 2, 5 through 8 says, have this attitude in yourself, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, though he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself, taking on the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men, being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. How did he start that out? Have this same attitude. That needs to be our attitude. We need to be willing to do what Christ did. Be lazy. Be zealous and enthusiastic. Those of you that were here last week saw somebody who was zealous and enthusiastic about what she's doing, how she's serving God. She was excited. She's still excited. And it's not just because she's young. It's because she's right where God wants her. And with that comes an excitement and an energy and an enthusiasm, and you want to tell other people about it. Here's what God's doing. This is amazing. Actually, the term that Kelsey used was beautiful. I love that term. This happened, and it was beautiful because Christ was in it. And his people were doing what they should have been doing. What's keeping you from serving the Lord with zeal and enthusiasm? There's no age boundary. There's no age limit. We need to be zealous and enthusiastic for the Lord. Therefore, I exhort you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a sacrifice, alive, holy, and pleasing to God, which is your reasonable service. Get passionate about Christ and serving Him. Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you how you just, it's amazing how you fit things together. Just even what Lynn was talking about this morning, Kelsey's message last week, Father, we need to be excited about you. And we need to be out there telling the rest of the world who you are and what you've done for us, the grace and the mercy that you've shown us. Have you gotten to the place where you're just complacent? You've been a Christian for so long that you've really lost that fire, that first love? Ask God to help you get it back. Ask that Holy Spirit that's within you, let it fire you up. Don't suppress it. Let it loose. Father, help us. Help us to be zealous and enthusiastic and serve you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Speaking of people serving the Lord, there was quite the crew out this week picking up garbage along the highway. And I just am appreciative for that. Glennis and Lori and Josh and Elaine were out there, and they went a mile that way, and they went a mile that way, and they picked up garbage. Thank you guys for doing that. Appreciate it. Yeah. It just makes it look so much better, even though there's garbage the next day. It's crazy. So it's job security, I guess. So, all right. Next Sunday, the time changes. So be ready for that. November 3rd, we're going to fall back. You get an extra hour. And it gets darker, yeah. Oh, it's the 4th, not the 3rd? Oh, well. But Saturday night, you need to remember to do it. See? That's why it's the 3rd. Operation Christmas Child, the deadlines for that is coming up quickly. And I don't see either one of those ladies, so I'm not sure what the exact deadline is, but I know it's in November. So information's out there. Let's see. What else do we have here? Oh, yes. We need some more help for sorters for the clothing closet. They're doing that on Wednesday at 2, so if you can help with that, come and help sort clothes. And then take a leaf. Take a leaf of faith? No, that's not. So on the children's ministry door back there, there's some opportunities to serve. And there's little leaves on there that says what they are. And there's a list where you can sign up, but you take your leaf of whatever it is you're going to do to serve. So go back there and check that out. And I think that's it. I think it's possible we might need some greeters to help, so. And there is a sign-up sheet in the back for that also, so. God bless you all. Have a great week.